Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. So, another French Prime Minister bites the dust, the third in a year, amid growing dismay and even anger. People in France and in Europe are wondering how long this obviously untenable paralysis will actually last. Our guest today is well placed to understand both the French and the European sides of this equation, having served as Secretary of State for European Affairs for the Minister of Europe, as well as Minister Delegate for Europe in French governments. Clément Beaune was also a budget advisor to the French Prime Minister, and he was part of Emmanuel Macron's cabinet when the latter was economy minister under the previous presidency of François Hollande. And of course, the budget deficit is now a huge concern in France, with some warning of a possible spillover potential for the Eurozone. Well, Clément Beaune is today president of the High Commission for Strategy and Planning, a body that traces its roots back to the 1940s. It reports to the French government and supports the Prime Minister in defining the nation's major strategic directions and preparing reforms. Welcome to the programme, Mr. Beaune.
Hello, thank you very much for your invitation.
So President Macron is sort of repeating this method of nominating a Prime Minister who lasts for a few months, then the Prime Minister falls. And people are saying, why is he repeating this failed method? He's got to sort out the problem first and then nominate a Prime Minister. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but the question is the parliament, because we have a parliament after the snap elections in 2024, which is fragmented into basically three big political forces on the left, in the centre, on the right or far right. And in any parliamentary democracy across Europe, there would be a kind of toolkit or toolbox to discuss, to find compromises, maybe to have a roadmap for a few months at least on the budget in particular. And this is not our political culture and habit in France, and we have to find the way through. The president has nominated a new prime minister, and the message is clear, even in the communique nominating Sébastien Lecornu as prime minister, to find compromises, to work on this, on the budget first, but it will require efforts, compromises, negotiations with forces in the parliament and groups in the parliament. I think in Germany, in Italy, in Spain, in the Netherlands, it would be kind of normal, natural. In France, it's new, but we have to get used to it, because I think that this fragmentation will not disappear, even if we would have elections in the years to come.
And the problem is people wouldn't even be able to agree on a toolkit. That's the first hurdle, isn't it? Unlike in Germany, we have a very structured process.
Yes, because we had this conviction, and that was the truth until very recently, that France was a specific organization, politically speaking, in Europe, with a very strong president, which is the case, but also a clear majority in parliament. And this second pillar is not the truth now, is not the reality. And we have to face this reality. And I was surprised, I'm not in parliament anymore, but to see members of all parliamentary groups basically saying after the elections, contrary to the reality that we can see in the parliament, that they have won the elections and they need to govern. So no one can govern alone in this system and this parliamentary reality.
How much do you think France's credibility in the EU is impacted by all this? Because if France is paying back this big budget deficit in the coming years, it can't invest as it would otherwise be able to on education, research and innovation. So it can't lead the European conversation on competitiveness, probably.
Of course, we face difficulties. We have to be very lucid about that, especially regarding our public accounts. That's true. But I'm hearing a narrative now, or kind of speech, which is 100% negative in the French debate or around in our neighbours' press or political debate also. I think it's not the truth. We have to be moderate. We have to be clear that France is still, of course, the second power of the European Union. And a lot of proposals changing Europe, reforming the EU, have gone through. So I think we need to be humble, lucid about these difficulties, first. Second, say that every European country is able to make coalitions, so we should be able to do it with a bit of efforts on all sides. And third, we are, and we should, lead, making new European proposals, having a new French-German momentum, as we see with Chancellor Merz also. And this is also a strong asset. We remain a country with a strong attractiveness. We see that in foreign investment remaining high in France. So these assets remain, of course.
But you yourself have said that France is probably going to be the last country in the Eurozone to come under, to get back to the 3% debt allowance.
That's true, and that's why I'm saying, and I started with this, we have to reduce our public deficit. Yeah. We have to reduce the burden of public debt. That's true, we are not alone, but we are in a difficult situation regarding public accounts in comparison with other EU countries. That's clear. But between saying there are difficulties and saying everything is wrong, nothing is good, we have problems in all economic areas, it's not true.
Let's talk about some of the other international issues. We saw quite different European reactions, or let's say nuances, to the Russian drone incursion into Polish airspace. You had some very measured, cautious reactions saying, let's see if this is deliberate or not, while others were saying, yes, it actually was deliberate. Do you think these sort of different nuances will be interpreted as weakness, as European weakness, by the EU's adversaries and rivals?
No, I don't think so. I didn't see any message of weakness among Europeans and within NATO. I think the reaction of NATO Secretary General was very clear. The reaction of President von der Leyen, President of the European Commission, delivering her speech on the state of the EU was very clear. She started with a very strong commitment to Ukrainian security, to the defense of all EU member states and territories. French President had discussions with the Secretary General of NATO, with the Polish Prime Minister, and our message of support, I think, in France and across Europe was very clear. So I think this is a very strong message, and the message should be heard by Russia.
On Gaza, which was also one of the sort of main points of President von der Leyen's State of the Union speech that you mentioned, she announced these proposals to partially suspend the EU-Israel association agreement, so that key trade agreement. But that got a lot of applause, but of course it's going to be very difficult, perhaps impossible, in the EU Council to overcome the existing divisions, isn't it?
Yes, it's a sensitive issue, of course. I think the President of the European Commission was right to insist on the humanitarian situation in Gaza and the necessity also as EU, as a player there, because we finance a lot of humanitarian aid as EU as such, but also bilaterally through member states, starting with France. So she was right to be very strong on this. Then, of course, we know that through our process, because we are 27, because on some areas of foreign policy, most areas of foreign policy, we still have unanimity votes, it is difficult to go through. But this impulse was, I think, necessary, and she made it clearly in different respects of this crisis in Parliament.
Let's talk a bit about your organisation, the High Commission for Strategy and Planning. A report in the French Senate this time last year in September had some quite strong criticism, saying that the HCSB had not fully met the high expectations that were placed in it when it was created. Was that a fair criticism?
The criticism, to be fair, was on the former structure, which was called Au Commissariat au Plan, HCP. And the Senate insisted on the necessity to merge two structures which had kind of the same missions, to advise government on long-term planning. And as you said, it dates back to the 40s, so it's not something new. Jean Monnet and General de Gaulle created this planning structure, a small one. Now we merge the two structures which had been created recently, because I think it doesn't make sense to have two. One is effective, necessary. Two is probably too much. So this was the main point of the Senate. We made the merger in 2 months after my arrival, and we reduced already by 12% the functioning spending, as we say, the spending of the current costs of the structures. So we are doing these efforts, but I think having a small long-term policy unit is very important in these times across France and Europe of instability and short-termism sometimes.
Yeah, so obviously the key issue is long-term planning. And
yes,
how do you do that when there's this political paralysis in Parliament? Is your work impacted by that?
Of course, it's more difficult, to be honest, but I think it's all the more necessary, since we have this political instability, to have some places across government where you try to propose, because we don't decide directly, options, scenarios, reforms for the long run. Just to give you an example, I think we made a very clear frame notes and analysis of the demographics and the demographic crisis we are going through. I think the French people, the French public, is not sufficiently aware that we are in a difficult situation, not as difficult as many European countries, but for the first time since Second World War, we will have more people dying than births in France this year. And this is a very, very strong wake-up call. And on this, we are making proposals, for instance, for pro-birth policy, if I may say so, for also a debate on economic migration, which is a sensitive issue but necessary issue, and all the competitiveness issues, because if we have a workforce which is more limited, we need to find other ways, AI and also robots and so on, to be more competitive, to face international economic competition.
Of course, COVID was a key moment, wasn't it, for the High Commission. How are you dealing with these kind of threats, you know, perhaps another major pandemic and, you know, emergency response on a European or national scale to that kind of event?
Well, as you just suggested, we have included a European dimension in our work, which was new when I arrived. I have this European DNA, but I also think that we saw with the COVID crisis in particular, the Ukrainian drama, that we need coordinated or common response at the European level. We will not have saved as many jobs and companies in 2020, in 2021, if we had not delivered a European recovery plan for our economies. So this type of response, sovereignty in terms of health and production of key equipments, medicines on the European territory, same for AI, same for electric vehicles. We need the European response in respect. And we, in all our works now, we will include European level proposals by the plan, by this High Commission, because we cannot just think of reforms, including demographics, actually, just at the national scale.
We'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for being my guest, Clément Beaune, head of the High Commission for Strategy and Planning. And we were talking with Clément Beaune about that State of the Union address that Ursula von der Leyen gave. We'll be talking a lot more about the key points in part two of Talking Europe with my panel of MEPs at the European Parliament in Strasbourg.